Good morning, church. This is the service for the 17th of May from John chapter 10, verses 31 to 42. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, "Many good works I have shown you from my Father. For which of these works do you stone me?" The Jews answered him, saying, "For a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, and because you, being a man, make yourself God." Let's pray. Father, we just ask for your anointing, your Holy Spirit, to be able to teach us things from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. The fact that the world that does not believe there is a God still hates God is proof that there is a God. There is a hatred towards God in our fallen world. We see it blatantly in the persecution of believers worldwide. The real God haters are rarely the agnostic people who have never thought deeply about Christianity. The real God haters are often the ones who have tried to start a relationship with God on their own terms and failed. The other God-haters are seen in Revelation 11, where the two witnesses are killed by the beast. I believe the two witnesses are Israel and the church, and the beast is the United Nations. We see Satan, or the dragon, at war with Israel and the church in Revelation 12:17, where the dragon was enraged with the woman, that's Israel, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring, that's the church, who keep the commandments of God. The Jews in today's passage have stuck to the written rules and missed the heart of God. I met an ex-pastor like that and was amazed at his hatred for God. They may have admitted and confessed they were sinners, and some of them even believed that Jesus was the Son of God. But when it came to committing their lives to God, they wanted their own will to be done. They wanted a God who would guarantee happiness, health, and prosperity. They wanted a God who would always grant their request. And when it didn't happen, they hated him. They had never grasped that Jesus himself was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. The writer of the Hebrews says of them in chapter 6, "For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and having tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame." Relationship has to be alive if it is to grow in depth and insight and actions. Peter says of these same ones in 2 Peter chapter 2, "For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, having known it, to turn from the holy commandments delivered to them. But it has happened to them according to the true proverb, 'A dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow having washed to her wallowing in the mire.'" John 10:34, Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law, 'I said you are gods'?" The Greek is literally gods. And Jesus is quoting from Psalm 82 verse 6, where the Hebrew word is Elohim, meaning God, and it ends in an I am, that's plural. Jesus is referring to the psalm in which Asaph accuses those entrusted with the administration of justice in our community, who should have modelled their role on God's example as the supreme judge. The psalmist accuses the leaders of the land for abusing their position of power. Another example is in Exodus 21, verses 1 to 6, where the passage talks about freeing Hebrew slaves after 7 years. The word translated as judges is also Elohim, gods. So the scriptures are saying these special people commissioned by God should act as gods. Now, Jesus is saying, surely, if there are leaders of the community referred to as gods, little g, because they had roles modeled on God's example, why can't they see that Jesus' amazing miracles demonstrate the character of God by his works? John 10:35, if he called them gods, to whom the word of God came and the scripture cannot be broken, do you say of him whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world, you are blaspheming, because I said, I am the Son of God. If I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do, though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Therefore, they sought again to seize him, and he escaped out of their hand. Now Jesus is stating that he has been sanctified by God the Father. Literally, this means he has been set apart for a special purpose. We too are sanctified by faith in Christ. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 2, to the church of God which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. Our lives are not aimless. We too have been set apart for a special purpose. Jesus is very conscious of his special task. We need to pray for such an awareness of our own calling too. As we pray, Thy kingdom come, we are setting our will to achieve God's purpose for our lives. Most importantly, we measure people's love from their heart, and their actions are the overflow of their heart. So the widow who puts in two mites of the temple is more honoured than those who gave out of their abundance. Mark 12:41, Jesus tells his disciples, assuredly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury. For they all put in out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had, her whole livelihood. It is actions that come out of the overflow of the heart which testify to love. Luke 6:45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. So what they needed to do was to see beyond the words that Jesus spoke, and even beyond the miracles which he did, to the very heart of Jesus. And Jesus raises the son of the widow at nine. Luke reports it, and he says, and that very hour he cured many of infirmities, afflictions, and evil spirits, and to many blind he gave sight. He didn't get rid of the Romans. He didn't get more cash for the temple. He didn't position himself into the Sanhedrin, the ruling body. But for those who looked, his heart was obvious. That is why we have to devour the scriptures. Young believers need to know narratives to start their Bible study. But if your quest is to know God and to be known by him, then you must read the prophets, Isaiah through to Malachi. You must see the loving God, the God in tears, the angry God, God the judge, the forgiving God, the God who corrects, God our Father, the patient God, the merciful God, and much, much more. Let's pray for the Holy Spirit to connect the words you read with your soul, your pride, your trespasses, your goals, your daily schedule, the people next to you, and more. Actions speak a lot louder than words, and people see actions. But only those with real discernment see even beyond the actions to the heart. So when people look at you, most will hear words and see actions. Let us make sure that what we do reflects our faith in Christ. And when we look at others, just try to see heart. That is where the seed is. The good seed of God is planted. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. So in our warfare prayer for the unsaved, whom God has placed in our lives, we pray that every seed that is planted will not be plucked away by the devil. Lord, we pray that for our prodigals. We pray for God's covering protection over every word that is spoken in their lives. We pray for that, that every word that we've spoken in our lives will still be there. We pray that they will not be sidetracked by temptation to fall away. Yes, Lord, there are so many temptations. We pray for these, our prodigals and the people you've put in our lives, and we curse every avenue of temptation that Satan brings against them. And we ask for it to be crushed and for those demons to be bound. We pray for a clarity to see how the burdens, riches and the pleasures of life can stunt our growth as believers. Lord, that is our priority in prayer. Our priority is that they know you. And Satan will put in their lives burdens and riches and pleasures to distract them. There is so much idolatry in this world, but we pray that our own eyes and their eyes will be open to see the things that we have placed before you, the idols we have placed, and that they will be torn away. And in all of these events, we pray to know the heart of God. Yes, Lord, that is what we pray. John 10:40, and he went away again beyond the Jordan to the place where John was baptizing at first, and there he stayed. Then many came to him and said, John performed no sign, but all the things that John spoke about this man were true, and many believed in him there. Sometimes we have to walk quite far to come to Jesus. Deciding to come to him can be quick, but getting rid of the baggage can take years. Why did Jesus go away beyond the Jordan and make it harder for people to come to him? One reason would have been that he wanted to spend time with God before he faced the crowds. We have to prepare for battle. The Baptist had come and received huge respect, but he had no mighty deeds. So they saw a difference between John and Jesus. But any hopes or expectations that John gave of Jesus were vastly exceeded. Worldly hopes are so often dashed. We worship a God who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus, to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Isn't that amazing? Worldly hopes are so often dashed. But we worship this God who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And people, if you have things that seem to be impossible, still take them before God. There's not enough merit given to effort. In Luke 6, we see a word being used for perfectly trained. A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. The word is katatismenos. Now in Hebrews 11:30, the same word is translated framed. By faith, we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God. So you've got perfectly trained, framed. In Matthew 4:21, It is used for James and John mending nets. So now you've got perfectly trained, framed, mending, all the same word. In Matthew 21:16, it's used for babies preparing praise for God. Then in 2 Corinthians 13, Paul concludes his letter using the same word. Finally, brethren, rejoice, be made complete. There is not enough merit given to effort. So much of our character needs mending, like a broken net. It is an arduous, time-consuming task, but so necessary if we are to be used effectively for God. To be perfectly trained is far from instantaneous. For one thing, we have to admit we're wrong. That can take months, or years, or a lifetime. And then, even after we admit we're wrong, and while we're attending to our mistakes, we see more. In this life, confession and repentance is endless. All of these corrections are part of a long journey as we determine to know the heart of Jesus. So why does Jesus make them travel so far to find him? Sometimes we have to prove that we really want to find him. Spiritual completeness will not happen in this lifetime, but it has to start now. Paul prays for the Corinthian church to be made complete. We cannot take baggage on a long hike. But question, what are the things hampering your journey to know the heart of God? This whole sermon, our aim is to know the heart of God. To know the heart of God is so amazing. Only Jesus was the Son of God. He was God made in the flesh. He knew our hardships and sorrows. John began his gospel with this totally mind-blowing statement. Here it is, you know it well. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Verse 10, he was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Huge privilege is that we are saved to spend eternity with Jesus, the Son of God. I want you to click on the link, then we finish with the song Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, now I'm found. And you know, the songwriter goes on to sing, my chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Saviour has ransomed me, and like a flood, his mercy rains. Unending love, amazing grace. And that last verse, I love the last verse. The earth shall soon dissolve like snow, the sun forbear to shine. But God, who called me here below, will be forever mine. Will be forever mine. You are forever mine. Let's click the link, sing the song. Amen.